Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, brought to you as ever by the AMP Radio Network. As you can hear from the beginning, this one's going to be a little bit different tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Proteus is on the ones and twos. We are here to do as we always do. Smack My picks up this one here for UFC Fight Night 140, Magny versus Ponzinibbio. The Ponzi scheme is back. That's right. As I mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, this fight card will be coming to us. I will be held November 17th, 2018. And I'm going to do my best on this stadium, Estadio Maritran de Weiss in Buenos Aires, Argentina. I'm sure Marco will correct me on that pronunciation as we get into the show. Ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to say we are not here with the full cast of characters this evening. It is all the gentlemen on deck, and me and the star of the show are here this evening. So let's not waste any time, and let's just get into it, and let's bring the star of the show in right now. Marco from Waco, deep in the heart of Texas.
Marco from Waco, brother. Good job with the pronunciation. The produce is Estadio Maritran de Weiss in Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Is it pretty good? There we go. I stand corrected.
I am proud of you. You did pretty good. For a Canadian, you did pretty good. Yeah, you did pretty good. I mean, you didn't veer too far away from the pronunciation, so it was good.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Marco, for making me feel better about myself. I doubt I got it right, but we can go ahead and get into this card. And like I said, guys, at the top of the show, this one's a little bit different. DJ Tony is off doing his thing. He's got work things to do, and that happens. Sometimes life gets in the way, and Pam has obligations that she's taking care of too. And again, sometimes life gets in the way. And if you were a fan of the Pam and Sam show, I apologize. You just got the penises tonight.
Nasty.
All right, guys.
Nasty
indeed. Yeah, nasty. All right, so let's get into this, Marco. DJ Tony, cue the music. 3, 2, 1. To the welterweight division we go, Marco. Neil Magny versus Santiago Ponzinibbio. As I mentioned earlier, the Ponzi scheme. Neil Magny coming at us at a number 8 ranked, fighting out of the United States of America, of course, 21-7-0 against the Ponzi scheme. Gente Boa? Am I saying his nickname correctly, Marco?
Not sure.
Marco,
are
you there?
I didn't even know Ponzinibbio got a nickname. But
okay, it's spelled G-E-N-T-E-B-O-A. Gente Boa.
Is that, well, Ponzinibbio lived in Brazil for a while, so that is a Brazilian nickname, brother.
Aha. Okay, fair enough. And, of course, as we know, Ponzinibbio is from Argentina. He's number 10 ranked in the division, 27-3-0. Marco, we're going to start with you. What do you got going on here? Because we know Neil Magny is a gamer, but Ponzinibbio, fighting on his home turf, what do you got?
So, Argentino maldito hijo de puta, I refuse to pick any Argentinians just because out of principle. Ponzinibbio is a good striker, man. I mean, that is just a given. But I don't think his game is round up to the level of Neil Magny. Neil Magny is the gatekeeper to the stars. You build McMahon, you get on your way to the top five and to contention, So I'm going to stick out with America because fuck yeah. I don't want to build Nick Magny. He's a better wrestler. His striking is also, nothing to laugh at. I think he got the better cardio. I mean, Ponzinibbio does have a gas, don't get me wrong. And, he has demonstrated that he can stick to a game plan or enter the Mike Perry fight. But as an overall fighter, I think Neil Magny is a more complete fighter. I think he's going to be able to stifle Ponzinibbio, ground him out, take him to the ground. and decision this guy. I mean, Positive is a durable guy. You know, he has to get finished often, not even the UFC. And Magny is a smart fighter. So he's going to grind it out. It's going to be an ugly fight. You know, not ugly on the sense of boring, but ugly on the sense it's going to be a grinding fight. So give me the Magny on the points, 48-47.
All right, 48-47 decision for Marco. And just this is coming in just now, ladies and gentlemen, from Pam via the text message. I have got her main event, her co-main event, and her spotlight fight of the night for this evening. She is also, Marco, riding your pigtails on this one. She is going with the decision for Magny as well. So that should make the numbers interesting. And just so you guys know, Marco, and if I do forget before we transition into the second segment of the show, remind me to give the results from last week, okay? Please? Thank you.
Hey, Marius, don't forget about the
yes,
results
sir.
From last week.
Hey, thanks very much. All right, so I think I have to tend to agree with you here, Marco. I think Neil Magny is the more well-rounded fighter. And, of course, as we've mentioned on the show previously, and as you just said now, he is kind of the gatekeeper right here. If you beat Neil Magny, you're in the welterweight division, you're looking good. You can – the sky's the limit probably for you. But Ponzinibbio, let's not give him, you know, let's give him his credit, even though he's not a Chilean fighter. He's an Argentinian fighter. And we know, as you mentioned on the previous show, exactly, there was no love lost there. I think Ponzinibbio has a chance in this fight, Marco. I really do. I think, as you mentioned, his stand-up and his striking is good. I think, however, the pressure of fighting for the first time in his home country will be a little bit too much for him. Yes, Neil Magny has had to travel a great distance from the United States of America, as you mentioned, and that may also be a factor. But I think that Magny is such a professional at this point that that's not going to matter. I'm not going to go by decision. I think that there is going to be a finish in this fight, regardless of who wins. I think there's probably going to be a finish. I'm going to take Magny as well. Let me just write my name down here. I'm going to go Magny as well, but I'm going to go by a second round TKO.
That is a bold prediction.
As you mentioned. Well, I know, but as you mentioned, like, his wrestling game is on point, right, Marco? And we know that he has the ability, even though he can work from the bottom as well, Neil Magny can. So that's kind of where I'm going. Like, if he gets to the bottom and we saw some of the the highlights from the workouts that Neil Magny invited some poor fella on stage with him that had some gloves on, and they were doing some jiu-jitsu rolling, and Neil Magny was able to get that fella flipped over real quick. So he supped him real nice and put him on his back. So I think that's kind of what we're going to see this evening, you know, or on Saturday evening. Neil Magny is going to be able to tire out the heavy-handed Ponzinibbio and get the finish.
Okay.
Closing remarks, Marco, on this particular fight?
No, I like it. I don't see the finish, but that is your prediction, not mine. So there you go.
That's right. Pick shows. Who knows? All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's keep this train rolling because apparently – this is going to be a quick show with just Marco and myself. To the featherweight division we go. DJ Tony, cue that music in 3, 2, 1. Ricardo Lamas, the Llama, versus Darren the Damage Elkinson. Okay, Marco, this is going to be an interesting fight. So let's actually give their real nicknames. Number 13, Ricardo Lamas, the Bully. 18-7-0, fighting out of the United States of America against number 14, Darren Elkins, as I mentioned, the Damage, also fighting out of the United States of America, 25-6-0. Marco, I'm going to throw to you again because you're the only one I got to throw to. What you got going on here in this fight, co-main event?
Okay, first of all, isn't it like a gimme that the linkage would be Ricardo de Lama Lamas? I mean, come on, what are you doing with a bully? Come on, man. Don't change it. Darren Elkins the damage man. Like his nickname says, he get damaged all the time before he start getting going. I don't know how to feel about Darren Elkins. Ricardo Lamas has been a perennial contender for a minute now, you know. His last win was spectacular, you know, a knockout win. And we don't see Ricardo Lamas knocking up people too often, but he did. He's a better wrestler. Like I said, like the previous fight, he's a better overall fighter, you know. I don't think he's going to lose his spot to Darren Elkins. Darren Elkins got the bad habit of getting hurt on every fight. And every fight is always a dog fight. It's only a three-rounder. And you're not going to win a war of attrition with Ricardo Lamas in a three-rounder, man. He's going to be too little too late for Darren Elkins to mount a comeback. And he's going to lose a 29-28 decision, dude. So give me Ricardo Lamas for the points, too.
Okay, so Marco, going with the Llama in decision. Okay, so let me just correct you real quickly, because the Llama has had two fights since he won against Jason Knight in spectacular fashion in round one, KO, TKO, loss against Josh Emmett and loss against Mishad Bektik. Goodness gracious. Every time we go to record these shows, I cannot speak. I do apologize, guys. And, of course, Darren Elkins coming off of a loss as well against Alexander Volkanovsky. But before that, previously to that, Darren Elkins beating Michael Jackson. Right on. Woo! Hey, did you hear that they're bringing Michael back in? Did you hear that?
The guy that beats CM Punk?
Michael Jackson.
Wow.
Mike Woo-hoo. Jackson. Yeah, perfect.
I know.
Anyways.
Oh, God.
All right, so this one here is going to be a good fight, guys. I mean, this one here in particular, Darren Elkins, the damage coming up, surging contender. As you mentioned, Marco does, like, take a lot of damage, and we know that Ricardo Lamas has been in some wars, okay? Let's be honest. You know, he's fought the best of the best. You know, Jose Aldo. Charles Oliveira, Max Holloway. You know, he's done his rounds. So he's been in some tough fights. And Darren Elkins is always one of these guys who will take the damage. And let's just note that he has the worst tattoo on his chest ever. But that's okay. If you want to put your nickname on your chest, perfect. Get it done. No worries with me. So I think, you know.
Final,
go ahead.
Funny that you mentioned that, because Luke Thomas on his show today on SiriusXM was talking about the best and worst tattoos in MMA, and people were like mentioning Darren Elkins left and right with the damage. Oh man, yeah, it's a horrible tattoo.
Yeah.
Horrible tattoo.
Him and Darren Till are in contention for number one. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah. Guys, so, like, I mean, Darren Elkins obviously has more fights than Ricardo Lamas on his professional record. I think everything is pretty much, as Goldie likes to say, almost equal. I don't want a copyright infringement, so we won't go there. But I think I have to go against you, Marco. I have to go with Darren Elkins. As much as I like Ricardo Lamas, I just don't know if – and again, this is the kind of same thing I felt, Marco, with Cowboy last weekend. You know, the aging fighter, the guy – maybe the guy who's maybe at the end of his career. We don't know. He's, you know, coming off of two losses, you know, in the past and a win. He's coming off of two losses and off of that Jason Knight fight before that, as I mentioned previously. So I think I'm just going to go with Darren Elkins. I think that, you know, I think he's a NorCal camp team Alpha Male. He's at Alpha Male, correct? Marco?
I think he is, man. I'm drawing a blank, too.
Yeah. So I think that I think he is. Yeah, I think we mentioned that on previous shows when the Damage was fighting. And I think that kind of environment where you're in an environment of, you know, lighter weight fighters, you know, wrestling all the time. Yes, Ricardo Lamas is at a good camp as well. But I just think that Darren Elkins, with his resiliency, is going to be able to get this done. So I'm going to take Elkins, and I'm going to take him a third round a TKO for me. All right, so let's take a look at the text message here, see what Pammy is deciding here. Oh, again, she is siding with you guys, you again, Marco. I think you guys are going to be right on point all this show, because I think your spotlight fight of the night is the same as well. So so Pammy is going with the Llama as well. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, so Pammy is going with the Llama as well for decision. So let's just recap, if we can, the main and the co-main event. Marco is going with Neil Magny, 48-47 decision. Pam also going with Magny, decision as well. Proteus, I'm also going with Magny. I think that the gatekeeper is going to be able to get this one done in the second round. TKO, co-main event. Marco is going with the Llama Llamas by decision. Proteus going the other way on this one, making this some kind of interesting radio tonight, going with Elkins by third round TKO, and Pam agreeing with Marco and going with Lamas, the Llama, by decision. Okay, Marco, let's throw to everyone's favorite segment of the show, hashtag Spotlight Fight of the Night. So cue that music, DJ Tony, in 3, 2, 1. Marco, what you got for Spotlight Fight of the Night?
Look, originally I was going to pick the Cynthia Galvillo fight, but in honor of Pam, because she wants to pick that one, I'm going to go with Guido Canetti and Marlon Vera. I like how Canetti looked on his last fight, you know. He's kind of the local guy. So I'm going to go with Guido Canetti, you know, via TKO on the second round, whatever the hell. You know,
wow.
I don't know too much. There you go. Guido Canetti, TKO, and Marlon Vera on the second round. I'm just throwing a coin in the air and flipping it and see if I get it right or not.
Well, in your haste to choose a new fight, you stole my Spotlight Fight of the Night. I am very interested in this fight, though, because these two fellas are very interesting. They're very entertaining. They're both so interesting to watch. Oh, shit. I haven't given any of the odds, but they're not up, so don't worry about it. You know, Diego Rivas coming off of, Canetti coming off of a win against Diego Rivas in his last fight, and of course...
Yeah, he beat the Chilean guy! That's right.
You know what? That was the last fight that we talked about, and you were very against the Argentinian fighter. And I believe that was actually the last fight. Yep.
I am breaking my own rule by picking the Argentino Maldito, but I think he's going to do good against Marlon Vera. So I should pick Vera, I guess, for Spike Canetti, but I'm running with Canetti.
Yeah. All right, that's fine. And, of course, Vera coming off of a win against TJ, who's your mama. But I'm gonna go with the same fight for my Spotlight Fight of the Night, Marco. Is because I haven't looked into any other fights, so I'm gonna go with Vera. I think this one, again, another interesting fight on this card. 135 pound, the lighter weight guys kind of intrigue me, and I think these two guys are gonna be out to win. I think Canetti, again, going to be out to win because it's his home country. Doesn't want to look bad against the Ecuadorian fighter. But I'm going to take Vieira, and I'm going to take him by decision.
You're going to take Marlon Chito Vera.
That's it. Chito. Chito. Okay, and as you mentioned, Pamela is weighed in on this one, too. She is going to take Calavillo. Shout out again to Team Alpha Male. Shout out Team Alpha Male.
Check this.
Yep. So Pam going with Calvia. She's going with a second round submission. Wow. Bold statements here. Now I don't know much about her opponent. Let's just take a look real quickly. Oh yeah, two wins in a row. Good stuff. Let's go. I'm happy to see what goes on there. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna throw to a new segment. Well, it's not really a new segment, but basically, it's gonna be Amp Radio Rewind.
Fuck that!
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned, Marco. Yeah. Marco was supposed to remind me to announce the results of UFC Fight Night 139.
Yeah, Claudius.
Go ahead.
Don't forget all the results, Claudius.
All right. So last week, I mean, none of us did really well, let's be honest. Pam, had she gotten the round and finish correctly, would have kicked our ass. However, she did not. She did get the winner in the main event and the co-main event correctly. But Marco, your spotlight fight of the night saved you and kept you in contention. So you and Pam are splitting the title from last week. Congratulations. It was a tie. I'm glad we added the spotlight fight of the night so that we could just continue to have ties. Marco, you got any trash talk?
You can't trash it when you tie, man, because you don't get your win bonus. So, no. Don't trash, Pat. I don't like sharing.
And of course, as we know, I kind of got screwed on my spotlight fight of the night because Chaz Skelly kind of got screwed on that one. Marco, maybe we can get into that right now. Let's talk about Chaz Skelly getting screwed on this particular card, UFC Fight Night 139. What you got here? What's going on with these refs?
Okay, so everybody knows what happened. You know, I don't even remember how to pronounce his opponent's name. But the guy got Chaz Skelly on a dark choke. And Chaz Skelly was doing exactly what he's supposed to do to not get choked. And I think his opponent was saying, he's out. And the referee freaked out and stopped the fight. You know?
Bobby Moffitt, Bobby, by the way, just so we
Bobby
can call
Moffitt,
him,
yeah,
stop
the,
calling him his
the,
opponent.
The,
yeah.
The Muffin Man. That's right. The Muffin Man.
Oh, that's going to stick. Don't you worry.
That is going to stick. The Muffin Man. So, look, they went to instant replay, and everybody and their mother could see that Skelly wasn't really out. And the Muffin Man, you know, I mean, he was doing his best to try to get the choke, but Skelly was offended it right. The referee messed up, and they didn't want to face up to the fact that they messed up. It should have been a no contest. Skelly was a super class act all through the post fights and after the fact regarding the event, you know, what happened. He said he doesn't want to take away Muffin Man's win bonus. He's going to appeal it, but if he doesn't go anywhere, you know, he's just going to take it like a man. Even Muffin is, you know, being a class act about it. Like, it's not his fault. I mean, it's not his job to call the fight. It is a referee. It's a bad look for this particular referee, this commission in Denver, too. I mean, they got issues all through the night with real weird freaking scorecards. And, you know, they didn't use instant replay properly. I don't tell you, man. I mean, it's the first time I hear about this referee. I mean, he's a local from Denver. So he might not have too much experience in high-level fighting, you know, like UFC-level fighting. And the guy panicked.
Mm-hmm.
And then after he made the call, he didn't want to lose face. So he kept the call as it was. And even after the fact, they called the result as a TKO when it was actually a technical submission. So,
yeah.
A bad taste and a black eye for the Denver Commission. But You know, how many times to do it? Like, they go to Denver once every 2 years anyway. So they need to get their referees more practice. You know, they need to go to bigger shows or to get more reps. And I try to get it right. I'm not going to be too harsh with them, you know, because it's referees that we don't really get to see too much. It's not the high-profile referees. But it's still a bad look, man. It's a bad look for everybody. The only people that look good on this whole thing was Chas Kelly and Muffin Man because they were class acts about the whole thing.
Yeah, no, I agree 100% that, and I have seen this referee before. He's not in, you know, regular rotation in, as you mentioned, high-level MMA, as far as I know. I have seen him in the UFC before, but yeah, bad call. They go to the instant replay, I think, and if you're going to go to the instant replay, you need to take it out of the referee's hands. I think that we saw... you know, a guy trying to save face. You know, he didn't want anybody to know, or he didn't want to agree that he got it wrong. As you mentioned, Marco, you know, Chad Skelly doing everything he's supposed to do to get out of that particular submission, as you mentioned, a Darce choke, and, you know, defending the correct way. I mean, you have to let these things play out. You cannot be swayed by what the crowd is saying or whether or not it's been spent too much time on the ground. You have to let these things play out because it is an actual fact, mixed martial arts. So, you know, if the fight goes to the ground, we need to let that play out. And as it had been mentioned on our favorite show, the CME, it's a blood choke. You know what I mean? So it's not as if there's no damage. If he ends up going out, and you stop that fight because he's gone out, Chas Skelly, then there's not going to be any damage. It's not an air choke. It's a blood choke. So just shutting off the blood to the brain, it's easy peasy. And I just thought that was the wrong call. And another thing, you know, we have to clamp down on this. We've been talking on this show, Marco, for, you know, two plus years now about refereeing and how it's such a you know, on the spot kind of thing. It's very tough. I think that what we need to do is take it out of that referee's hands that is in the cage, maybe have another referee in the back or, you know, wherever. I mean, we know that Dana White can watch the shows from his own office if he needs to, when they're off the continent. So maybe we have somebody like they do in you know, hockey, as they do in the football, American football. They have someone who's not on site going through it, especially in hockey, and those people make the call. And I think that's what we need to do here. And I think this one here, I think we could do a no contest, and that would be fine. Everybody saves face. And as you said, the Muffin Man, that's going to stick for sure. Bobby Moffitt, it was very, very open to running this one back. I think Chas Skelly did get screwed. And, you know, hey, and a fight card like this that went really, really well, I mean, we can complain about the odds and ends. But I think this one was a great card. And, you know, maybe, you know, we need to run this one back between Chas Skelly and Bobby Moffitt.
And it's not unprecedented to reverse a bad call. Like, what was Tanya Arringer
right. Got
that call reverse when the referee messed up? You know,
correct.
She got armbar because of a bad call by the referee because they didn't allow her to put her foot on her opponent's face
to break
the armbar. So they reverse that and turn it into a no contest. It's not unprecedented. Granted, this is not Kentucky. It's Colorado. But it is not an unprecedented call, so we'll see what happens, man.
Yeah, and I have no problem with this one being a no contest. And like I said, let's do it again, brother. Okay, so let's move on. In the co-main and the main event on this particular show, UFC Fight Night, Korean Zombie versus Rodriguez, as I mentioned. If you're a nerd, UFC Fight Night 139. Donald Cerrone versus your boy... face tattoo, Mike Perry. What a great fight. I mean, it only lasted, you know, the better part of one round, Marco, but Cowboy Cerrone proving us wrong yet one more time. What you got, Marco? You're on mute, brother.
That's what somebody was calling on the other line, and I had to.
Okay, on. Fair enough. Three, two, one. What you got, Marco?
So, man, what can I say about Cowboy Cerrone, dude? I mean, I saw his way out, and then he came storming back into the fight. Cowboy looked good, man. I mean, Mike Perry, he's young. He's going to learn. I mean, he got all the time in the world. He's only 26. So I know what about Mike Perry. And he's going to be one of those guys that people are going to want to watch fight because he has his fighting style. He's reckless. He's aggressive. So Perry will be okay. Cowboy, though, at 35 years old, the winningest fighter in UFC history, the guy with the most finishes. What can I say, man? Cowboy Cerrone is something to behold. And then not only an awesome freaking armbar, and I broke my poor Mark Perry's arm, but having his baby at the end, raising him out like the Lion King in the cage. Well behaved baby, by the way, you know, that baby didn't fuss or not. Like, eh. But then again, his middle name is Danger. Jack Danger Cerrone. That kid better know how to, his daddy's going to teach him how to fight because nobody's going to pick on his middle name. I didn't have to say, man. I was shitting on Cabo. I saw he was on his way out, and he looked really good. Perry made the mistake of going to the ground with Cabo Cerrone's, and Cabo Cerrone's guard. And when you go into Cabo Cerrone's guard, you're going to get either triangle or armbar. And he got his hand broken with his problems. Perry tried to get out. He spiked him up. You know, he picked him strong as hell, picked him up Cerrone and slammed him up and slammed him down. All that did was things that armbar even tighter. And, you know, Perry's taking it in a stride. He's been a good sport about it on social media. Like I said, he's going to learn. And Cowboy's going to 155 now. He's going to make a title run. And rumor has it, Conor McGregor is next with Cerrone. We'll watch. That's the best I can say about it. It was awesome.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And I think the one thing that we do have to highlight is that Mike Perry decided that it would be a good idea for this to go to the ground. I mean, we know that these two guys have trained together. We know that they were training at Jackson Winklejohn together for a long period of time until, Cerrone decided to part ways. And of course, Cerrone getting the performance bonus on this particular fight. So he's 50 grand richer, and that's nice for him. Look, I have said in the past that Mike Perry can be kind of the future of the welterweight division with some of the things that I have seen from him and, you know, the reckless abandon that he's willing to throw out there. However, when you get against a guy, I think maybe, you know, they've had a lot of gym battles, Marco. I think they've had a lot of opportunity to, you know, actually see what Donald Cerrone is capable of. Again, that's why it makes it so confusing why Mike Perry would want to take this fight to the ground. I mean, maybe he was just looking for a way out. Maybe he just was like, yeah, break my arm. No, like you said, Mike Perry was actually trying to get out of things. However, as we mentioned, or as we've heard on the post-fight show, shout out to DJ Tony for getting those post-fight Octagon interviews amped style put out. Thank you very much, DJ Tony. Cowboy Cerrone said, I was fine with him taking me to the ground. I have a good ground game off my back, and I'm willing to go down there with him. I just don't understand why Mike Perry would do this. Maybe he was tired. Maybe he was, the adrenaline dump. Maybe it's Denver, Colorado, and the elevation got to him. I don't know, Marco.
I see Perry was trying to prove a point. I'm trying to prove a point.
You think so?
Yeah, because he was defending the armor properly. I mean, don't get me wrong. He was doing exactly what he needed to do. Donald Cerrone changed the angle, and then when he went belly down, is when Perry didn't have no place to go. I mean, he did the spike, and then he turned the proper way, and he was on his way to getting out of it, and then Cerrone changed the angle on the armbar and was able to put him to do the belly down, and that is when it was curtains. I see John freaking Perry was trying to prove a point that he also got a ground game. You know, I can take you there too. because he didn't look gassed. He was still using a lot of freaking high power. I mean, like, he picked up Cerrone with that armbar like he was just attached to it and slamming on the ground. Remember that spike was a powerful spike. And he was doing exactly what he's supposed to do. Is Cerrone was one step ahead and caught him and broke his arm, man, for his troubles. Like I said, he's 26 years old, he's going to learn, man. He ain't going anywhere anytime soon because people gravitate towards this guy Perry, and they're going to work with him. They're going to get him a couple of winnable fights down and make Cerrone's going to lightweight anyway, so that story is done.
Yeah.
By the way, Michael Wilton June, you know, throwing Perry under the bus in his interview and throwing all the details to Cerrone. I don't know if you heard that interview, but it's worth like checking out on YouTube.
Yeah, no, I saw that Winklejohn had put something out. Look, sometimes the truth is somewhere in the middle, and I just don't want to get involved in this back and forth drama game that we are seeing playing out in MMA. And of course, this is no news to anyone who listens to this show regularly. I'm not interested in the back and forth. Look, all kudos to Donald Cerrone for being a wily veteran, getting that submission in whilst, you know, they weren't so sweaty. End of the first round, spectacular work. And of course, as you mentioned, you know, Mike Perry coming out on Twitter saying that, you know, hey, you broke my arm. Great job. Both guys seem to really like each other. And Donald Cerrone is a likable character, man. I mean, if you looked at his post-fight interviews, John Morgan going back and forth with him, they're having some laughs. Really good guy. And I just hope that he keeps himself out of, as you mentioned, hashtag danger in the future. And we can see him just beat the crap out of your boy, Conor McGregor. All right, so let's go ahead and move to the main event. Of course, fight of the night and performance of the night for Yair Rodriguez, taking this one on short notice. And guys, I just wanted to go ahead and say that I did misspeak last week when I said that Frankie Edgar, Chan Sung Jung's original opponent had to pulled out due to having to take a fight on short notice. No, Frankie Edgar got injured, and Yair Rodriguez steps into on short notice to take this fight. You know, sometimes when you're doing this MMA show, you get your facts confused. So I apologize for that. But Marco, let's throw to you on this one because as it states, you know, performance of the night and fight of the night, these guys gave it. I mean, Chan Sung Jung on short notice had to prepare for Yair Rodriguez. Yair Rodriguez on short notice had to prepare for Chan Sung Jung, the zombie. And both guys had to, you know, be prepared for some elevation in Denver. So what you got here, Marco?
Well, first of all, the technical term for what happened to you last week is called a brain fart.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But, wow, this fight was amazing. So we know on a regular, you know, horror lore, to kill a zombie, you got to shoot them in the head, you know. But to kill a Korean zombie, you had to hit them with a spinning upward elbow at 4 minutes and 59 seconds of the fifth round. There is no other way.
Yeah.
But you can hit it with anything you have for 24 minutes and 59 seconds, and nothing will work until the very last second with a freaking move that we had never, ever, ever, ever seen in the USA. So, knockout of the year? Hell yeah. Fight of the year?
Yeah.
Most likely. This fight was so much fun, dude. And the fact of the matter is that Korean Zombie was on his way to winning the fight. He was up in 2 out of 3 freaking judges' cards, 3-1.
I don't know what was going on with that third judge, though, right? That third judge.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with him.
The other judge got it 2-2. I mean, I'm not hating on the third judge because the other judge got it 2-2, and the other two judges got it 3-1. And I agree. I got the Korean Zombie winning 3 out of the 4 rounds, but I can make an argument that Yair won the third round, so it could have been 2-2 because the first round was close too. And the fifth round, Korean Zombie was on his way to win in the fifth round too before that elbow from hell. But, wow. I mean, that fight was so entertaining. These guys destroyed each other. I mean, there's a cool picture of Korean Zombie and Jair on the hospital in a gurney in freaking hospital clothes, you know, embracing each other. They gave us, like, this is what I like to see on MMA, dude. A fight yeah. of the ages, two guys that at the end respected each other, a finish that everybody's going to talk about for a long time to come because it wasn't the 25th anniversary. You know?
Yeah.
I'm going to quote, what is his name? Ariel Helwani. Remember the last fight of WEC, we had the Showtime kick? In the 25th anniversary of the USC, we get the spinning up one elbow from hell that killed the Korean Zombie. So, wow. What else we can say, man? I mean, Jair Rodriguez, his stock goes up. I mean, this guy was in on the he was out of the USC, back in the USC. He was going to fight Saviv. Then he didn't fight Saviv. And then he takes this fight in short notice, and he just added to his legend. Because Jair is now one of the guys, man. People are going to talk about this freaking spinning elbow and his flashiness. But the Zombie doesn't lose any stock. I mean, if anything, his stock goes up because what a freaking warrior. From the Leonard Garcia fights to the Dustin Poirier fight, now he gave us this, even on a loss, the guy's a winner. I know he was a little bit embarrassed on social media of what happened, but he doesn't have to hang his head too low because what a freaking show they put for everybody. And people that didn't see it, shame on you because that is what we watch MMA for moments like this, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. This is why we watch MMA, and I know DJ Tony is kind of down on the lower weights, but this is kind of what I wanted to highlight to you guys. These guys are putting it on the line. I did have you're coming through with some serious creative blows throughout the whole fight. But it seemed
let me interject real quick. I don't want to interrupt you, but let me interject real quick. 25 years ago, the USC, USC won. It was like, what style was better? In this day and age, everything mixed together. But now, it looks like we're seeing fights that you should be seeing like in a video game. With moves that we never thought it would want to work. And we're like in a maze of the things that these fighters can do in this day and age. I just want to say that because I couldn't get it out before, so I got to put it out there now. Go back to your point.
No, you're 100% correct. And we have said this, we've had this conversation on this show before, that the game is just changing so rapidly that it's hard to keep up. And the pressure to be on the feet and be creative, we see it with Al Kukui as well, Tony Ferguson, and Yair Rodriguez. I think two of the most creative fighters that we see in the game in today. And I think that a lot of this has come from the John Jones influence, throwing those elbows from creative angles. And, of course, we know that Yair not only has trained at Jackson Winklejohn, but also spent some time at Bad Motherfucker Ranch with Cowboy Cerrone for this particular fight. Look, we saw Yair Rodriguez kind of try to throw that elbow previously in that fight. I think it was round two or three. He tried to throw it, but Chan Sung Jung was too far away. The reason this particular strike worked is because Chan Sung Jung, after, almost five rounds, was probably exhausted, first of all, because they had a war. And there's no doubt they had a war. It went back and forth. Even though I had Chan Sung Jung getting the better of this fight, and he did. He had the most significant strikes. Yair would hit, would try stuff, and then Chan Sung Jung with his crisp boxing would just light Yair up. A number of times, Yair was on Queer Street, and he came back. And, maybe perhaps, as it has been mentioned earlier on, the co-main event, these guys kind of took some breaks. And I don't have a problem with that. One, I don't have a problem with it because it was on short notice. Two, I don't have a problem with it because it was in fucking Denver in the Mile High. The air is thin up there, ladies and gentlemen.
These guys were working hard. If they were heavyweights and they had to go five rounds, it would have not, been as spectacular as it was.
Look, if Chan Sung Jung would have had his hands up as he should have had, but he wouldn't have probably gotten caught with that elbow. However, who the fuck is expecting that elbow to come from wherever the angle it came? I thought Cowboy Cerrone's description of how Yair finished this fight was hilarious. He was like, Yair was going in and he just went boop. Yeah, he just went boop. And then the fight was over. Spectacular. And you mentioned, Marco, how the sport has changed in 25 years. I mean, 24 years. And it has. And we've talked about this previously on the show. I think that it's going to continue to exponentially and grow and change. And we're going to see more spectacular things. We're going to see things that we didn't know could be possible because the game has changed. You know, as you mentioned, it was style versus style. Then it was the wrestlers came in and they dominated. And then we had to, how do we negate wrestling? Well, we got to get good at wrestling. We got to have good takedown defense. And then when all of that is on a level playing field, how does the striking come about? And that's what we really saw in this fight. I think both guys wanted to keep this fight on the feet. They wanted to show out. It was a big event. They really needed to show out, and they did. And I think that was a spectacular fight. And yes, this one here, knockout of the night, or knockout of the year, fight of the year, great one. Marco, one question I had for you as well. I mean, this is not original to me, but I did think this when I was watching the particular program. And of course, throwback to the CMA again, they brought it up. We had the old style, UFC guy in the middle of the ring, but we also had, or in the octagon, but we also had a ton of advertising. And this, as you guys know, if you're a longtime listener to the show, really bugs me because the fighters are no longer allowed to have their own, they're not allowed to get their own, people to support them. But the UFC, I mean, Marco, the Ultimate Fighter logo in the middle, I was almost touching so many of the other logos around, all the other advertising in the ring. And in the octagon, and as I heard, we're supposed to make this a little less like NASCAR, but it really seemed like the advertising was strong on this show. What is your feedback?
Okay, dude. First of all, super cool that they had the old logo there for the 25th anniversary.
Yeah,
really
absolutely.
Like that was so cool. And the
music and the graphics.
It was all really, really retro. I really like it. It's like one of those throwbacks in football. I dig it. They should do it more often for special events, But when it comes to the advertisement, dude, cry me a fucking river because, I sat with Luke Thomas on this one. If the fighters don't get enough to sign their freaking union cards, to start doing collective bargaining, if they don't get enough, I don't give two shits, man. If they want to sponsor, go to Bellator, man, because that's the way it's running the USC. And, Endeavor, the parent company of the USC, is about making money because they invested $4.2 billion buying the company. Oh, by the way, they're going to be making shitloads of money now because they just changed their pay-per-view negotiations with the distributors. Now, instead of a 50-50 split with the cable distributors, they're going to get 70%. Fair enough. They're the only game in town that brings big numbers of pay-per-view for freaking the cable distributors. And they got the $1.5 billion from ESPN. They got a couple of other big freaking TV deals internationally. So, believe me, Endeavor is going to do fine. And if more freaking sponsored dollars are coming into the company, even better. You know what the fighters have to do if they don't want to unionize and freaking do collective bargaining? Because, I'm not going to fight that battle anymore. If they don't want to do it, the managers have to be smart enough to put in the contracts better payments for their fighters. And some of them are. Some of them are doing really well, especially the guys that are with Maki Kawa. They're all well-paid fighters. You don't see one fighter on the Maki Kawa stable complaining. As I hate to admit it, Aliyah Delaziz, even though he's a freaking douchebag, take care of his fighters. All his fighters on his table are very happy fighters. So maybe the freaking fighters should change management and go to a guy that is going to do their job and get the good contracts and good paydays. Because since they cannot get money from the sponsorship anymore, there's other ways to get money that is on their contracts and on your fight agreements. So there you go. That is the only avenue to see for fighters to get what they should deserve. But if they don't care enough about signing a freaking union card, don't cry me a fucking river, because the UFC is on the business of making money, and if people are willing to pay money to put freaking stuff on their canvas for advertisement, more power to them.
No, they were also willing to put their brands and logos on the fighters, too, so let's not hate too much. But, yes, I agree with you 100%. But, of course, the UFC making it very hard for the fighters to do that when they silenced Leslie Smith. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, we thought that there might not be enough to talk about this week to fill an hour, but we're pretty much there. So I'm going to go ahead and get us out of here. And, of course, as we know, Cry Me a River, I think also fitting here because kind of the same band, I believe. Hashtag NSYNC. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for tuning in. My guilty pleasure, or my Twitter follow, is I'm going to actually point you into a podcast, another podcast that I've been listening to, hashtag Distraction Pieces by Scribius Pip, the pod father. He had MVP on his show this week, and it's a very interesting interview, kind of mirroring what Marco has said about, you know, the Bellator versus the UFC conversation. MVP Michael Venom Page goes into, you know what it's like to be an MMA fighter, and it kind of goes into some issues that I've brought up on this show that, you know, maybe MMA fans don't really appreciate the full spectrum of mixed martial arts. I recommend it highly. The Distraction Pieces podcast by the Podfather himself on the Distraction Pieces Network. Marco, let's throw to you. What do you have tonight for your guilty pleasure or your Twitter follow of the week?
So, not guilty follow of the week and no guilty pleasures this week, because I haven't really been watching Netflix this week. And I've been doing a lot of Destiny 2. Don't ask me why. I've been playing that game so much and addicted. Sorry for me. Check out Red Dead Redemption. What about that? Red Dead Redemption 2. You're a gamer. I love the first game. I check out the second one too. I kind of like it, but it's long. It drags. So
yeah.
If you're into something that is going to take a long time, check Red Dead Redemption 2. That's my guilty pleasure.
All right.
Follow Producer and Produce. Follow me and Maldo Marco. Follow the absent ones, DJ Tony at IamDJTony. Follow Pandora Box. Follow the show at another MMA cast, Red Hat Reviews, Knucklehead. We did the race, we did the reviews. Tell your mama, tell your freaking postman, tell somebody that you see on the street, hey, check this podcast if you like MMA. You know, help us out. We're going to leave you guys. Catch you guys next week. Enjoy the fights.
All right, Marco. And just like that, put something
we're
in there, Marco.
We're gone.
We're out. Ready? Let's do it again. 3, 2, 1. And just like that, Marco.
We are out of here.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great one. Hey, PSA, please, if you're in California, do not throw your cigarette butts out your window. And second PSA, if you're in a snowy area, clean off your car. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Busty!